We are a nation of laws, rules, and regulations. By definition, those elements were designed to protect and promote life and opportunity here in America. Unfortunately, when those items are overused or utilized for other purposes than their original design, consequences become the result. And this is certainly true in New Jersey, where land use and zoning regulations have negatively impacted landowners, homeowners, and even people who rent homes. Joining us now with the details of a report about the effect of land use and zoning regulations in New Jersey, as well as elsewhere in the country, from the Cato Institute is Vanessa Brown Calder. Thanks for being here today, Vanessa.
Hi there. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And the report at Cato.org, dated October 18th, is entitled Zoning, Land Use Planning, and Housing Affordability. You can download a copy. It's easy to digest, 16 pages, but some interesting details, and it'll help you understand, too, why current-day situation here in New Jersey, as well as elsewhere. For example, if you think it's bad in New Jersey, you probably don't want to buy a home in Ohio right about now, but we're focusing on New Jersey. And, you know, given the content, obviously the content is the aftermath of the research, was there anything specific, any idea or any situation that helped you, pardon the pun, zone in on this issue for this report?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of stories right now in the news about zoning, and some of them are kind of almost humorous. Some of them are very serious. And so certainly, as somebody who's been focused on urban policy for some time, I was interested in the way that zoning and land use regulations have effects on things that we, everybody out there cares about. And one of those things, as you mentioned, I think you mentioned, is home prices.
Yes.
So what I actually looked at in this report is the relationship between zoning and land use regulation and home prices, and probably not a surprise to any of your listeners, but first, land use and zoning regulation is growing rapidly, and it's certainly growing rapidly in New Jersey. I looked at New Jersey specifically, and after 2000, you see actually just a spike in the quantity and strength of land use regulation that's being added to the books from about 2000 to 2010. So that's interesting and notable. But nationally, new land use cases, which is really just a proxy measure for the new quantity of regulations that's coming online and strong regulations that are coming online, had doubled over the past three decades between 1980 and 2010. The U.S. population just grew by 37% during that time. So this regulation is coming online at a speed, at a pace that is far outpacing just regular population growth. And then I took that data that I was using and I paired it with housing price data, and I found that there's a highly statistically significant relationship between the two. And all that means is it's just kind of econometrics jargon to say that there's a strong relationship that is not likely to occur through random chance alone. And that relationship between land use regulations and increasing home costs held in 44 out of 50 states if you just look at simple correlations. But I think one of the interesting things is that federal housing subsidies are concentrated in some of the places that zone most restrictively. And so this kind of creates a unvirtuous cycle where you basically just continue to slap a Band-Aid on the problem. And the root cause of that problem is the zoning and land use regulations, which is driving up home prices. And you continue to come in and subsidize it, which just encourages people to continue regulating land use in the same counterproductive way. And you've probably seen some of that in New Jersey, I'd imagine.
We don't have to imagine. It is the unfortunate reality. And I guess it makes sense, for lack of a better phrase, because if the think of it in a business sense, if you have a limited supply of a certain item you want to sell as a retail outlet, then you can charge more for that item. If through regulations any housing construction is limited, then the existing housing values are going to go up because of their scarcity. And in turn, if it costs more to be a landowner and a landlord, you're going to charge more for rent to maintain the property that you're renting out to somebody else. So it's the impact for you hear about regulations, you always think of corporations, it doesn't affect the individual. But in this case, with land use and zoning regulations, it does indeed affect the individual.
That's exactly right. So basically, what's happening here, and you just mentioned it, is there's this mechanism which drives up prices, and it's restricting housing supply. And that's what zoning and land use regulations are really good at, is restricting supply. And just simple economic theory predicts that when you restrict the supply of something, of anything, and there's demand there for it, that the price of that thing is going to go up over time. And that seems to be what the empirical evidence suggests as far as land use and zoning regulations are concerned.
We're talking to Vanessa Brown Calder from the Cato Institute about a report that she authored from October 18th entitled Zoning, Land Use Planning, and Housing Affordability, 16 pages, which you can download at cato.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. One of the graphs in your report, too, is maybe add some understanding to the timing of all this. It seems like literally from the birth of the EPA to present day, that's when we see the biggest spike in land use and zoning regulations.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, that definitely plays into this. I think that environmental regulations are one type of land use regulation, and they're certainly something that has provided a lot of kind of local veto power over all sorts of different types of development. And so that definitely is an issue. And you can see that in the data, as you mentioned.
And, you know, as I said in the introduction, too, regulations have their place for control, but you always hope for a best-case situation where both sides of an issue are going to allow for opportunity and freedom in America. But here in New Jersey, we have something called the Highlands Act, which for pretty much all of northern New Jersey, the idea was to impact the watershed and the water supply for about two-thirds of the state, which I think we can all agree on is something important and worthy of attention. But the Highlands Act basically put such a limitation on any sort of construction. If you wanted to build a footbridge over a creek on your farmland, you couldn't do that. One of our affiliates, they had their transmitter towers in a wooded area, and the building it was in was a trailer, actually. It was rusting out, and the station owners had to go through the state house and get the assembly people to tap the state EPA on the shoulder and say, you know, if you don't give them the permission to do the small construction project they need to do, then you're going to lose a means of emergency communications because the station's going to go off the air, quite frankly.
Yeah. No, that's certainly a problem. And one of the problems with environmental regulations when it comes to housing prices and sort of the unintended consequences there is that we all like a lot of, we love beautiful scenic areas. We want to preserve those, right? But what land use regulations do is it requires someone to preserve them that's not us. So we don't actually have to pay for the preservation of the land that we really value. And so there's kind of this kind of manipulative, underhanded thing, coercive thing going on there where we basically are just requiring other people to do the things that we're not willing to pay to do ourselves. And that's how land use and zoning regulations act in a lot of ways. They kind of get taken by special interest groups or established interest groups, and they get used in a way that benefits the special or established interest group at the expense of other people, at the expense of outsiders.
And as you mentioned, throwing money at the housing affordability problem is not an answer because the supply and demand has an imbalance among other aspects of the element. So is it just a matter, I mean, it sounds simple, but certainly there's a bigger pushback than one would imagine. Just a more logical approach with the regulations would, A, be a more cost-effective solution, and, B, be a much easier and faster solution.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, we can do this the free way, which is deregulating, or we can do it an extremely expensive way, which is trying to subsidize all of the problems that we continue to create. And I think that we probably don't want to go down that road. I don't think that there's enough money on God's green earth, as they say, to go down that road and subsidize everyone's affordability problems. Just to give you a sense of the scale of the issue, there is some research done by a Harvard economist, Edward Glaser, a few years ago, which looked at the cost of the regulatory tax associated with zoning regulation in some of the major coastal cities like New York and San Francisco, San Jose, Los Angeles, these type of places. And that cost was equivalent to about 30 to 50% of the price of housing in those areas. So just imagine trying to subsidize 30 to 50% of people's housing costs across the income spectrum, because that's the type of problem that we're really grappling with here.
And as the report shows that Vanessa has authored Zoning, Land Use Planning, and Housing Affordability, New Jersey, as we've grown accustomed to, unfortunately, ranks among the highest as far as those regulations are concerned. But in this report, too, it does helps you understand, if you're a landowner, why permits and standing before town council seem to be a greater part of your business activity than you would like it to be. And if you're a home renter, why your rents are what they are. Because, again, you think of it in a business sense, supply and demand and cost of operation, it falls upon someone, and it's too often the consumer. But there are solutions if people would just be a little more logical and more common sense and put themselves in the place of the people who are seeking affordable housing, and not through government programs and handouts, but through, again, the opportunity and the freedom that our country is supposed to be operating under. You can read the report, download it, share it with other people through your social media pages, because for every state, it certainly is a point of interest and certainly a concern in a variety of ways. It's dated October 18th, 2017, Zoning, Land Use Planning, and Housing Affordability at cato.org. And we've been joined from the Cato Institute, Vanessa Brown Calder. Vanessa, you helped, I think, the layperson better understand everything. And I think that understanding is the empowerment that the voices need to rise up against this trend and this idea of how things are versus what they need to be. So thanks for doing that, for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.